If I had to guess which words are most used in political websites and social media accounts at the moment, I'm pretty sure equality would be near the top of the list. Some of the real headlines in our culture at the moment concern issues of equality, don't they? Race and racism, the environment, gender, sexuality and marriage, income and class, disability, immigration, the list goes on. And much of the culture wars that are raging at the moment in the UK and the US revolve around issues of equality. And recent surveys have found that in the UK, people are more concerned about fairness than they are about freedom. And young people in particular see issues of equality as among the most important issues. At one end, whatever issue it is that we might be thinking about, there are those who say that more equality is needed, and those who disagree are bigots and need to be cancelled, which is itself a form of inequality, although that doesn't usually get mentioned. At the other end, again, whichever issue you pick, there is prejudice against particular groups of people. There is unacceptable racism and homophobia and misogyny. At both ends, there is a huge amount of self-righteousness. And many of us caught in the middle don't know what to think, and we certainly don't know what to say about these issues. So today, as we carry on our short series thinking about justice, we're going to dive into the issue of justice and equality. And I'm very aware this is a sensitive issue for many of us. In fact, it's probably the most sensitive and the most difficult of all the weeks. These issues arouse strong emotions. And as I've said before, someone may well be offended. And I just want to say two things about that. First, if you are offended unnecessarily, then I'm very sorry, and I ask for your forgiveness. And I do ask you, don't just go away and never speak to me again. come and talk to me. I'd love to talk about it with you. Show me where I've gone wrong. Let's work it through it together. But second, personally, I sometimes appreciate it when I'm offended. There is such a thing as healthy offense, because sometimes I'm wrong in how I think, and I need someone to challenge my thinking. And when that happens, initially, I will be offended. But then I'll go away and think about it and realize actually what that person said did have some truth in it, and I need to take it on board. So if I'm offended by something I hear, it may be wrong, in which case I reject it, forgive the person and move on, but there may be truth in it. It's worth saying I'm very aware as well that there's lots more to say about these issues. I've put some references at the end of the handout that you could follow up some of the things. And I may get things wrong, and I pray that if I do, it'll be forgotten. And at the very least, it'll have encouraged us to have this conversation about justice and equality. And I hope what we're going to see is that equality is a beautiful and vital thing when found in its correct context and with the appropriate boundaries. But first, we need to ask, what do we mean by equality? Because the word is used in all sorts of different ways, and sometimes it's used in ways that are deliberately misleading. So let me just give two examples. So first, by equality, do we mean equality of opportunity or of outcome? That is, everyone having the same opportunities or everyone experiencing the same results? And I think what we saw last week from the Bible was that that equality of opportunity is more in line with what the Bible says than equality of outcome. But whatever we think, we need to speak clearly. Second example, back in 2013, during the campaign for same-sex marriage, the phrase equal marriage was used a lot. It still is used. And I would suggest it's a deliberately unclear phrase, because it's actually presenting a particular view of marriage, a view that, as we've seen before, is inconsistent with what the Bible teaches about marriage. A couple of other things to mention at this point. You may have noticed that sometimes all the different equalities are lumped together as if they're one. So there's a new campaigning group in the Church of England which says it's campaigning for equality in a whole host of areas, some of which the Bible commends and some of which it doesn't. And emotional appeals are often made. And this whole area does bring out strong emotions, doesn't it? Stories are told which pull at the heartstrings. But stories and emotions, they're important, but they shouldn't on their own persuade us to change our mind. So with all these different definitions of equality and arguments for equality, what should we do? Where should we start? Well, as we saw 2 weeks ago, as Christians thinking about any issue, including this issue of justice, we need to start with what the Bible says. That is our final authority. What does the Bible say about equality? Well, I'm going to use a framework I've used a couple of times over the years, looking at the big stages in the history of humankind, what I've called creation, curse, covenant, Christ, and consummation. So here we go, a quick whistle-stop tour of the Bible. We begin with creation. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. First verse of the Bible. And in Genesis chapter 1, we're given a wonderful poetic account of the creation. And in those verses James read, we read about the pinnacle, the climax of God's creation. Verse 26, then God said, "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female. He created them. Now the key words here are in God's image. God creates humankind, men and women, in his image. What does that mean? Well, scholars have debated exactly what it means. Does it mean that we are God's representatives on earth? Does it mean that we share some characteristics with God, some mental and spiritual abilities? Does it mean we're able to relate to God? Personally, I think it means all of those things. But the thing I'm most interested in for now, which all of those views share, is that because we're made in God's image, every human being has immense value and dignity. Men, women of every color, whether able-bodied or not, same-sex attracted or not, rich or poor, with all sorts of desires, we all have great value and great dignity because we're all made in God's image. In that sense, we're all equal. The writer G.K. Chesterton said this: "Human beings are equal in the way that pennies are all alike." We don't really have pennies anymore, do we? But you know what he means. We may all be different. Some pennies are bright, others are dull, some are old, some are new. But all are equally valuable because and only because each bears the image of the king. Today it would be the queen. And that means there's no place for any kind of prejudice. There's no place for looking down on certain groups of people, which is usually people who are different to me in some way. All people are made in God's image and therefore have great value and are to be loved, welcomed, and cared for. Just a few observations at this point. First, when someone is grasping for equality, it can be, it's not always, but it can be, because they don't appreciate how precious and valuable they are. And we need to help people see that glorious truth from the Bible. Second, I don't know if you know this, but this concept of the whole concept of human rights comes directly from the Bible and from these verses in Genesis. And I think it's helpful, I saw this just in the last week, it's helpful to distinguish between our rights in relation to God and our rights in relation to other people. I know I often confuse these. Before God, naturally speaking, I have no rights for reasons we'll see in a moment. But before other people, I do have rights because we're all made in God's image, equally valuable in that sense. Third thing to notice, I said humanity is the pinnacle of creation. And in these verses, we see that humanity is to rule over and to care for creation. So as we think about the environment, and that's one of the big issues around rights today, isn't it? Just think about what's been happening on the motorways the last few days. We can learn a couple of lessons from that. So humanity is to care for the environment. It's part of our God-given task. But humanity is not equal with or below the environment. Sometimes you can get that impression from what campaigners say, can't you? No, we're made in God's image to rule over and care for creation. Just one more thing before we move on to the next stage. In his good creation, God has put boundaries in place, boundaries which are for the good of his creation. So he separates water from land, light from darkness, day from night. He creates men and women, equal but different. Later on, he talks about another boundary. In chapter 2, you may eat from every tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. There are good boundaries given for a good purpose. Well, second, curse. Sadly, this wonderfully good situation doesn't last for very long. The devil appears to the first man and woman in the form of a snake, and he tempts them. What does he tempt them to do? Well, sin's been described in all sorts of ways, but here are two relevant for today. Wanting to be like or equal with God, chapter 3, verse 5. Or crossing good boundaries God's put in place, those verses we've already thought about. And that's exactly what they do when they eat the fruit. And so sin comes into the world, putting myself first, rejecting God's good ways, thinking that I and people like me are right and others not like me are wrong. And again, as we think about equality, we see sin revealing itself in different ways, don't we? So on the one hand, there's prejudice. Looking down on others made in God's image, those not like me. Then there's grasping at equality, trying to take it by force. And of course, there may be times when that is appropriate, when we face wrong inequality at the hands of other people. But can we see that at least the motivation could be the same as at the fall? And then another way is transgressing the good boundaries that God's put in place for our good. And as a result of the fall, every part of our humanity is affected. Yes, we're made in God's image, but our desires, our emotions, our reasoning, our wills are damaged. We can't always trust them to show us things as they really are. So we're doubly dependent on God to show us the truth from his word, the Bible. And so because of the fall, we should, on the one hand, have a healthy suspicion of what our culture says about equality. But also, on the other hand, we need to look at ourselves and the church and confess ways in which we've gone wrong in this area of equality. And as we'll know, tragically, terrible things have been done by Christians in the past. Acts and attitudes of racism and homophobia and anti-Semitism. We need to acknowledge that, to confess it, to ask for forgiveness where necessary. The third C is covenant. This is talking about the Old Testament covenant that God has with his people. And I'm not going to say much about it, but I've put some notes on the handout, so I would encourage you to read those later, both talking about equality, but also about boundaries. But let's come to Christ. As I've thought about the coming of Christ in relation to equality this week, I've been amazed at the wisdom and the love of God and how Christ subverts all the sinful attitudes towards equality. In Christ, there was no prejudice. He treated every human being as valuable, to be loved, welcomed, and challenged. A offended, perhaps. And he almost went out of his way to focus on those who were looked down on in the society of his day. Women, those from other nations, the poor, those with diseases, with leprosy, with disabilities. I don't need to give references, because you can turn to any page of the four Gospels and you'll see some examples of him doing that. Then as the Apostle Paul reflects on Jesus' life and ministry in Philippians, he tells us these words, and I encourage you to open up your Bible, if you've got one, to page 1179. So it's worth seeing these words, page 1179. Philippians chapter 2 and from verse 5. Paul says, in your relationships with each other, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. Jesus was equal with God, but he didn't grasp at that equality. He didn't try desperately to hang on to all the benefits of it. In fact, he humbled himself and made himself a servant, even to the point of dying on a cross. If anyone had the right to equality and even supremacy, it was Jesus, above humans. But he humbled himself. He was born into this world in a stable, laid in a manger. And then he was hung on a cross. We might say he was quick to give other people their rights, but slow to demand his own. And that sounds like a good example to me. But of course, there's much more we can say, because what does the cross to which he humbled himself show us? Well, as Ben was saying earlier, it shows us how serious the curse is, how serious our sin is. It shows us that before God we have no rights, naturally speaking, other than the right to receive hell. And yet Christ died. He gave his blood for us on the cross. And for those who trust in him, he lifted us up. He united us to himself. And so in the church, among God's people, we are precious and valued twice over. And we are equal twice over, made in God's image, and then purchased forever by the blood of Christ, fully known, fully passionately loved, fully accepted forever. And Paul's Ben's already quoted Galatians 3, there is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And it may be that some of us need to just take some time today, just wallowing in those wonderful realities, that these things are true of us, enjoying the fact that we are lifted up, children of God, loved, accepted, known. It's not to say there aren't still boundaries. We're equally valuable in Christ, but we're still male and female. God's moral purposes still stand. For example, in terms of how he defines marriage, that's a hot one today, isn't it? And we're still called to submit to those in authority over us. Finally, rather like last week, Jesus relativizes equality in this life. He says, the poor you will always have with you. You might just as well say there will always be some degree of inequality, but a day is coming when every injustice will be dealt with. And that leads us on to our final C, consummation. That is the final fulfilling of all the hopes of God's people, all the promises of God, where every true inequality will be dealt with. There'll be no prejudice, there'll only be love. And actually, our focus won't be on ourselves, it will be on the Lord Jesus. And the book of Revelation is full of images of what this glorious day will look like. But let me just read one, focusing particularly on the issue of race. So Revelation chapter 7, verse 9. After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. That's the Lord Jesus. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands, and they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." That is the future we have to look forward to, a day of great joy, of perfect love, of no injustice, of joyful unity and equality before the glorious throne. Again, on the handout, I've written a few words on another view of justice, liberalism. I won't say more about that now, but do read, and happy to chat about it another time. But as we close, what difference does this make for us as Christians and for us at the Annaby Churches? And we could take hours talking about all the different differences that this could make, and I'd encourage you to take some time in the next few days to think about it in your situation. But just to give a headline and a few specifics, the headline, this is a quote from Tim Keller. "Biblical justice requires that every person be treated according to the same standards and with the same respect, regardless of class, race, ethnicity, nationality, gender, or any other social category." Well, what might that look like? First, we should ask God to reveal our prejudices. We all have them. And other people can see them, even if we think they can't. Let me read this from the Living in Love and Faith material that some of us are considering at the moment. "We notice if someone treats us with respect and fairness, we feel understood. We also notice when someone judges us out of prejudice, because they don't really know us or love us. One of the striking things about Jesus was his willingness to make friends with and show respect for people who were victims of prejudice." We all need God to reveal our prejudices, don't we? And then we need to repent, remembering that we were foreigners, we were exiles, we were outcasts, and were brought close by Christ. As a church, we need to make sure that we're always welcoming to every kind of person. Second, where the Bible maintains boundaries, we need to maintain them. And the most obvious area in which this is the case at the moment is in the debates about marriage. As we've seen many times, Scripture is very clear that marriage is between a man and a woman. And the unity and the difference give a glorious picture of the relationship between Jesus Christ and his people, the church. And we need to be clear and confident that to uphold biblical teaching is not homophobic. It's not racist, it's not classist or any of those other isms, even if Facebook and Twitter tell us it is. Third, and connected to that, we need to be able to discern what issues are issues of equality and which aren't. Similar to what I said a couple of weeks ago, when you hear someone say it's a matter of equality, ask the question, well, is it? And then go to the Bible to see if they're right. But we mustn't be closed-minded. As we said earlier, we have got things wrong in the past, and we need to examine God's word with humility. We need to be impartial. I won't say more about that, but do go away and look at James chapter 2 for an example of that. And we need to follow Jesus' example. We've seen that he showed welcome and love and care to others, but he didn't grasp equality for himself. So like Jesus, let's be quick to give other people their rights, but slow to demand our own. And let's be very slow to define ourselves as victims, and we'll think more about that next week. Because when we know that we're valued and loved by God, fully known, fully loved, fully accepted forever, and when we know that every unjust inequality will be dealt with in the future, then we can cope with inequality now. And finally, people's greatest need is not equality in this life, but the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, which is offered to everyone equally. That though we deserve hell, through faith in him, we can receive all the blessings of being children of God. Let's make it our greatest priority to pray and to share the good news as we have opportunity. We'll do take some time to reflect on what I've said, maybe chat afterwards about it, chat with a friend. If there's something that's been raised that you want to talk to me about, then please do. If there's something you'd like to pray with someone about, then I do encourage you to take the opportunity to do that afterwards. Just pause for a moment, and then I'll lead us in a prayer. Father, we thank you that we are made in your image. Thank you for the value and the dignity that that gives to each one. And thank you for those trusting in Christ. We are doubly owned by you and loved by you, bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Please help us to think rightly about these issues of equality. Please help us to think through the things that we've heard this afternoon. Help us more and more to follow the example of the Lord Jesus, who humbled himself, took on the nature of a servant, that he might bless others. Amen.